This is Positive Parenting. Parenting expertise and advice from best-selling parenting author and national newspaper columnist, Mr. Dad, Armin Brott.
Hello and welcome to Positive Parenting. I'm Armin Brott. On what was supposed to be the family trip of a lifetime, 13-year-old Taylor Storch's life was tragically cut short in a horrific ski accident about 2 years ago. As Taylor lay unresponsive in the ICU, her parents, Todd and Tara Storch, clung to any shred of hope that they would see their daughter smile again. Completely devastated and still in shock about the accident, they were asked a question that no parent ever thinks they'll hear. Would you be willing to donate Taylor's organs? Their answer would change their family lives forever and provide hope during their darkest moments. It would also save the lives of 5 desperate people anxiously waiting for a new heart, a new liver, a new cornea, a new pancreas, and a new kidney. Taylor's death could have destroyed the Storch family, and in some ways it almost did. Taylor's gift is more than Taylor's story or even Todd and Tara's story. It's the story of a nurse who can now be an active mom and fully present for her kids, a cowboy who now has the strength and ability to give back to the community, a biker who can now give himself completely, and a teenager who can see her future for the very first time.
More with Mr. Dad, Armin Brott, after this, from the MrDad.com radio network.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Noted non-recycler Tommy Crenshaw talks about the future.
Oh, I can totally see finding another planet that can support life when ours fills up with trash.
As an alternative to recycling?
Yeah, an alternative. So we, like, don't have to do it. Recycling. There are lots of planets. Finding one is just a matter of time.
Many people say that recycling is pretty simple and convenient, a matter of keeping select items out of the trash. A lot simpler than finding a new planet, Tommy.
Come on, there's a bunch of planets out there.
Would you recycle on this new planet, Tommy? Or just use it up and throw it away, too?
I really don't have a clue.
Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle. Unless you're into lame excuses like Tommy's.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing. Starting over on a new planet? Now that's exciting.
Don't be that guy. Unless you want people looking at you funny. Log on to YouGottaBeKidding.org.
Now, get ready for more positive parenting with Armin Brott from the MrDad.com radio network.
Welcome back to Positive Parenting. I'm Armin Brott, and my guests for this part of today's show are Todd and Tara Storch, who are the co-authors of Taylor's Gift, a courageous story of giving life and renewing hope. Todd and Tara, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
You know, we were kind of joking around before, just going on the air, and you know, I try to start the shows off with an upbeat tone, but this is not going to be necessarily the most upbeat of segments. Can you tell us a little bit about Taylor and the scene? Set the scene for us here.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about Taylor, and then I'll let Todd take over about setting the scene for you. But we do hope, you know, that this story isn't a sad story. It's a story of hope and inspiration. But Taylor is one of our 3 children, and we could spend the entire time that we're on air with you talking about our children and bragging on them. But for this,
sure,
we'll talk about Taylor. And, you know, she just was such a beautiful, caring child, had these beautiful blue eyes, very athletic, and really just kind of a friend to all. I know we look back at that and go, really? But it's true. I mean, she could walk into a middle school lunchroom and be welcome at any lunch table and just had tons of friends of all different kinds. And we just loved that about her. She was silly and goofy and could make fun of herself. And just, we could go on and on.
The setting the story for you, and again, to reiterate Tara's standpoint, I believe you're a father of 3, is that right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, we had just, and we have just the fantastic family. I mean, the perfect family of five, and we went off on the spring break trip just over 3 years ago, and that was a skiing trip that we went to, and just was the best time ever. And Taylor was just about 14, Ryan was just about 12, and Peyton was 9. And on the very first day, the last run of the day, myself and Taylor and Ryan went on one last run skiing, and on the very last run, she slipped, and she went off into the trees and sustained injuries. Those injuries led to her passing away, and that was March 15th of 2010. We got asked a question after the accident, and that question was, she is a beautiful candidate for organ donation, and would we consider donating her organs?
Yeah,
our answer was yes, and it led to beautiful things.
How do you deal with that question? I mean, I've seen that question over and over again watching TV. You watch House or any of the other hospital dramas, and there's somebody's always asking that. It seems like, I would imagine that there are plenty of people who ask that question who get popped in the mouth by somebody who just feels it's completely inappropriate to be asking, although it really is, but it seems like such a disturbance of the grief that you're feeling.
You know what, and thank you for bringing that point up. I mean, this is such an easy topic to dramatize. I mean, there's a couple things going on here, right? You've got grief, you've got death, and you've got drama. And so what a beautiful mixture for Hollywood.
Yeah.
So
if you take out the reality part of it.
So let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Tara and I were in what went from the most beautiful, wonderful trip ever to instantaneous nightmare. And we got asked that question. I mean, once we realized that what we were dealing with, the transplant coordinators came in and asked. And it was simply the easiest decision in the worst time ever. And so if there's any takeaway for your audience, one of the things we work so hard at with our foundation, and we're so transparent in the book, is that we hope that you don't get to the point we were in. Thank the good Lord we said yes, because you could see how easy it would be to say no in
yeah.
that emotions.
Yeah.
But the point of organ donation, the point of Taylor's Gift Foundation, is to help people understand it's not about death. It's about life. I mean, the ability to give back and to make the world just a little bit better than we found it is what has given our family hope, and we've seen it spread across the country.
Did they try for a long period of time to save her, to revive her, or had she died on the slopes?
No, they did everything they could to save her, everything. And when they knew there was really no hope for us, that's when the question was brought up for us.
Yeah, boy, I'm still kind of stunned by the whole thing. There was you probably know this book, and I cannot for the life of me right this minute remember the name of the book, but it was a similar kind of a story of a little boy. I think he was 11 years old. The family was driving in Italy, and they were shot at by some highway robbers, and they didn't realize until a couple hours later that their son had been shot in the back seat. And they did a similarly courageous thing and donated his organs, but they had a little bit of a different issue, which was that they wanted to, and in Italy, that's just not done or wasn't done at that time. And so they were kind of pushing the boundaries the other way. To
right.
suggest that maybe somebody could benefit from this, and as you said, that it wouldn't be about death, that it would be about life.
You know, you bring up an important point. I mean, we're obviously we're focused our efforts in the United States, but this story has been worldwide, and so we're doing everything we can to try to help, you know, the world with understanding this issue. You know, you bring up some really, really good points, and we hear it all the time. National statistics around organ donation is that 90% of people believe in it, but only 40% of people are actually registered. So there's a disconnect. And where that disconnect comes from is misinformation. People not wanting to deal with it because it's an easy thing to put off, because it only takes 60 seconds to register in the United States. I mean, they could be done.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be done by the first commercial break that you go to. TaylorsGift.org, click on register. Any state in the United States, you're going to be in the official database for your state. The other issue is that some people will kind of use religion as an objection. And what they're really saying is that it's just kind of some traditions that maybe a mom or a grandmom had said, and they just didn't look it up. But really,
yeah. Well, there are some religions that have as part of their faith that everything that the body has to be buried all together.
We don't have to get into a theological discussion, but no, I would just recommend that if anybody feels that way or believes it, ask their priest, ask their pastor, ask their rabbi, because there's very, very, very few factions of religions that believe that.
Well, and even those, I mean, I don't know every single one of them, but even those, that there is something that trumps that, which is to save a life. And so anything you can do to save a life, you can bend any other rule. So I want to ask you, you introduce yourselves as a family of five, of having three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Do you continue to do that even though there are two left, right?
Absolutely. We are just parents of one that is, we're having to parent in a different way right now. I mean, she's always going to be our child, and we know she's with us. I mean, she's is our child. She's part of our family.
That's good. Just really, just kind
yeah,
of,
I mean, people
they're
ask
so
us,
impressed.
Well, I mean, people ask us, you know, how many children you have. We will always say three. We have three children.
You know, and to that point, and again, I'm talking to you like we're just kind of sitting in my living room, and you've got three kids, and, you know, Ryan and Peyton. Ryan's now 14, Peyton is 12, and they are amazing kids. And you know, this is a part of their story, too. I know this interview is just with the parents, but this is their story. It's a part of their life. And, you know, they lost their sister, but this is a chapter in our life.
Yeah, and the way we've explained it to them, to kind of put it in their terms for any parents that are listening on how to explain stuff like this, is that, you know, we sat down with them and said, you know, when you read a book and you get to a chapter where it's just really hard to get through, you kind of wonder why the author wrote it that way, and you know, just, but at the end of the book, you close it and go, gosh, what a good book. You know, this is what we pray that this is going to be for them. They're going to look at this and go, what a really bad chapter. But at the end of it, they're going to realize what a good book of life they had because of what happened. It turned them into adults that they probably wouldn't have been, with a compassion and caring that they never would have had.
I'm talking with Todd and Tara Storch, who are the co-authors of Taylor's Gift, A Courageous Story of Giving Life and Renewing Hope. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Todd and Tara. I want to actually get into a little bit how the other kids are handling all of this. I'm Armin Brott. You're listening to Positive Parenting.
More with Mr. Dad, Armin Brott, after this, from the MrDad.com radio network.
My son Casey was a bright, fearless 20-year-old with a boundless future ahead of him. But in the blink of an eye, he was gone. While out riding a skateboard, Casey fell. He was not wearing a helmet. Our whole family wishes he was. It could have saved his life. I'm Captain Kevin Raffelli of the San Mateo Police Department. Parents, encourage your kids to strap on a helmet every time they jump on a bike, scooter, or skateboard. Think of my son Casey and use your head. Put a helmet on. It could save your life.
A message from the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screenings. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to ahrq.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
I walk and you drive. So let's make a deal. I'll watch for you and cross the street safely. You watch for me and stop. Think of the impact we can make.
A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Welcome back to Positive Parenting. I'm Armin Brott. We're continuing our discussion, just in case you're joining us, with Todd and Tara Storch, who are the co-authors of Taylor's Gift, A Courageous Story of Giving Life and Renewing Hope. Thanks for sticking with us. I do want to ask you, since we did talk a little bit about it, you just sort of brought up the issue of the other kids and how it's their story. I have done a lot of work with single parents and find sometimes that it's very, very hard for a parent who's a man or a woman who's going out with a widow or widower, because it's very difficult, and it's almost impossible, to compete with the memory of the person who died. And sometimes mm-hmm. that person in people's memories becomes bigger and stronger and better and everything. And I'm kind of wondering how it is for your other two kids to have Taylor so much in the limelight.
We see that. This is a great question. It really is a great question, and we're very sensitive to it. You know, we are very big in our family about communication. We talk about this all the time, and because we are very conscious about not making them feel second or that they're not as in the limelight like Taylor is. I mean, they are our children the same way as Taylor is, and Taylor's getting a lot of attention. Her name is. But they are just as important to us as she is, and we always let them feel that.
We have, I've had frank conversations as our family and then also with Ryan and Peyton because, you know, grief is so different. My grief was completely different than Tara's grief, and then sibling grief is different than parental grief. So through lots of prayer, through lots of, you know, counseling and just really open discussion as a family of just trying to figure out the best way for our family to move through this, some of those discussions wrap around this organization called Taylor's Gift Foundation and a book called Taylor's Gift.
Right.
And our children are so proud of their sister. They're so proud of the work that is happening with this organization called Taylor's Gift Foundation that truly they know they're a part of something that is helping bring good in a bad situation. And it just reminds me so much of my grandfather, and I can actually see him saying this to me when I was a kid. And he always told me, Todd, it's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you react to it that does.
Sure.
And a part of our parenting with our kids is just that, is that this is something that happened to us. What can we do? What can you do as an individual so that we can bring good from something so bad? And we're working through that every moment of every day. You know, it's not as easy as it sounds, and it's easy to talk about and hard to live.
Yeah.
And that's what parenting's about.
How has this thing impacted your relationship? You in particular, Todd, you were on that final run. If you second guess yourself, if only I would have done this or should have done that, or Tara, I guess you were not there. Mm-hmm. If you have to fight back some, you know, why did you do that? Why couldn't you have stopped with the last, you know, the previous to the last run? I mean, it just seems like those natural kind of things would come out.
And you know what? Thanks for asking that, because, you know, like we wrote in the book, we wanted to be so transparent with our feelings, with our emotions, because we truly believe that it can help other people going through tragic times. So to your point, believe me, I've gone through guilt. I've dealt with, why couldn't we have just gone and had, you know, hot chocolate with Tara and Peyton? You go through all of those, but those doubts that you have are nothing but just irrational thoughts. There's nothing you can do with it. You don't control it. The fact of the matter was there was an accident, and, you know, I had to be the father that was standing with Taylor, you know, waiting for the paramedics to come. I was also the father that was with my son that was witnessing this and trying to parent him. If you live your life second guessing, then your life is just going to be horrible. At least that's the way I look at it. And so, you know, our relationship, Tara and I's relationship is, and sometimes it's hard to say, but it's strong. It maybe even is stronger than when we first got married.
You know, we knew that we could easily become a statistic. You know, I mean, you hear about all these parents who fall apart, because of this. And so we really had to make a conscious effort to work at this, and we were given some really good advice from another couple who told us that we need to give each other the grace to grieve the way that person needs to grieve. I couldn't expect Todd to crawl in bed with me and just stay there for days like I did, because that's not how he needed to grieve. And so through this, giving each other the grace to do what we needed to do and letting our children grieve the way they needed to grieve, you know, it really helped us through this, and it's actually made our family stronger because the communication lines have completely opened up between all of us.
And how have the kids responded to this? I mean, not the way we were talking about before, but how did they grieve? Certainly they were old enough. It's not like they were two or one or something and they would forget it, basically. But, you know, it hit them, and they're never going to forget this thing.
I'm sure that so many of your audience, you know, can relate. I mean, you don't have to lose a child to deal with grief. And, you know, for Ryan, his grief, a little stereotypically, you know, as a boy, as a guy, you know, he bottled it up. He wanted to just push it aside and not deal with it and just carry on and do the things that he wanted to do. And that started manifesting in some difficult times for him at school, because, you know, he became, you know, a focus of attention because his sister died. And so we had to work together on how to get through that. Peyton's grief was completely different, and, you know, it's changed and ebbed and flowed with her relationship with Tara.
Yeah, she, you know, my daughter became very fearful of losing me.
Very
clingy to me and kind of reverted backwards a little bit to childhood, very young childhood. She became very clingy, but, you know, this is what we have dealt with and what we're dealing with, but we have loved them through this. I mean, no matter where they are and where we are, we have to love them where we are. And sometimes we're not the perfect parent because our grief is so heavy, it's hard to parent. But you get through it, and you know that tomorrow, I know this sounds silly, but tomorrow the sun is going to come up and it's going to be a better day. We are not going to feel like this despair all the time. We are not created to live in this kind of despair.
Now, it's about that. Another thing that just kind of occurs to me is that as time goes by, the grief is going to lessen.
Right.
And, you know, Taylor may have been on your mind every single second of every single day. And just because time is going by, it's going to be a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel guilty in a way that you're letting her go?
So to that point, the best way that I can describe and that I've been able to communicate with people that seems to resonate about this type of grief is like the stock market. And each one of us in our family is an individual stock. And when you wake up in the morning, the bell goes off. And some stocks crash, some stay the same, some rise. And those are our emotions as individuals. And you just hope and pray that at the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month, that the general trend of the stock market, which is our family, is going up. But every second of every day, it could all be doing something completely different. You know, and sometimes you crash, and sometimes you rally. Do you feel the guilt? Do you miss? And is there times that you wake up and it's not the first thing on your mind? Absolutely. Is sometimes that okay? You bet. Are there other times where you kind of go, oh, my gosh, I didn't think of Taylor when I first opened my eyes and feel guilty about it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've done that too. I mean, it's all real.
Have you been skiing again, and have you been back to that particular place?
No, we haven't, and I know for a fact that I won't. I don't think emotionally I can do that. Todd, on the other hand, wants to, and our son wants to. He wants to go skiing again. But personally, no, I don't think I can handle that at this point. But I also have to realize that the way I feel now may not be how I feel in 5 years.
We're almost completely out of time, but I do want to ask you just one last thing, which is how do you deal with birthdays and big events that would have happened?
You know, birthdays have become, honestly, very treasured for us. Last year, Taylor was going to be 16. This year, she'll be 17. And we have chosen to use that day in celebration for others. For example, last year we did 16 random acts of kindness. This year we're going to do 17 random acts of kindness as a family.
But to the other point, other holidays, sometimes you just wish you could close your eyes and they'd go away.
Yeah.
We've had to figure out how to deal with a Valentine's, a Christmas, a Halloween, all those family things that were real special to us.
Todd and Tara Storch are the co-authors of Taylor's Gift, A Courageous Story of Giving Life and Renewing Hope. Todd and Tara, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Sassy.
Today's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh no, a rattlesnake! Sassy, help!
You will, but first you want to talk about shelter pets? The majority of pets in shelters are there due to owner-related issues like divorce or allergies?
Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Welcome back to Positive Parenting. I'm Armin Brunt. Let me just jump right into today's email. Dear Mr. Dad, a few weeks ago you were talking about how PTSD after deployment affects spouses in addition to service members themselves. You talked a little about how it affects kids too, but what about families where PTSD isn't an issue? My brother is in the Army, and he and his wife are both being deployed in a few weeks. Their two children, a boy age 11 and a girl age 13, will be staying with my husband and me. How do kids do during the actual time when dad or mom is deployed? The short answer to your question is that most of the more than 2 million children who have ever had at least one parent deployed do pretty well. But there's a significant number that don't. Children who have a deployed parent or parents tend to be more depressed and do worse in school than kids in non-military families, especially if there have been multiple deployments. And a brand new study just found that children with deployed parents are more likely to abuse alcohol, illegal drugs, and prescription medication than non-military kids. The study was led by Stephen Arndt, who is a biostatistician at the University of Iowa, and he analyzed data from nearly 80,000 students in 6th, 8th, and 11th grades. His team started the project with the hypothesis that a parent's deployment would increase children's likelihood of substance abuse. Unfortunately, as Arndt put it, the numbers suggested we were a lot more right than we wanted to be. Here's what they found. When looking at alcohol consumption in the previous 30 days, sixth graders with deployed parents were 3 times more likely to have had at least one drink than non-military kids. That was 12% as opposed to 4%. And they were nearly 4 times more likely to have downed 5 or more drinks at one sitting, at 7% as opposed to 2%. And the difference among 11th graders wasn't quite as stark. 29% of military kids were binge drinking as opposed to only 22% of civilian children. But 11th graders with deployed parents were 50% more likely to have smoked dope, that's 15% as opposed to 10%. And for all grades, military kids were more than twice as likely to have misused prescription drugs, 15% of them, as opposed to 7% of the non-military kids. One especially interesting thing about this study was that it also compared outcomes for military kids who lived with a parent or other relative, that's including aunts and uncles like you and your husband, while dad and mom was deployed, with those who lived with non-family members during the deployment. And as you might guess, being forced to live with somebody outside the family made things far worse. Here's a quote. Deployment is going to be disruptive anyway, which is probably why we see the overall increased risk of substance abuse in these children. And then for those children where parental deployment means that they end up living outside the family, it's a double whammy. And that was Stephen Arndt. That change in these children's living arrangements grossly affected their risk of binge drinking and marijuana use. The best thing you can do is keep a close watch on your niece and nephew. Talk to them about how they're doing and pay attention to who their friends are. But more importantly, do everything you can to keep them communicating with their parents, whether that's on Skype or phone calls or email or care packages. The more connected kids feel to their parents during the deployment, the less likely they're going to be to get into trouble.
Thanks for listening to Positive Parenting. You can get more information on today's show and what we're working on in the weeks ahead at MrDad.com. While you're there, visit the MrDad.com gift shop with everything you need to help you become the dad or mom you want to be. Positive Parenting is a production of the MrDad.com radio network. Now, go be a great parent.